step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air performance number 713. I am Lisa Sheps, your host of this show, and I'm joined by my co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
And we are also joined by future co-op store, Laura Werner.
Hi, Radioland.
You're listening to us on KOOP HD1, HD3, Hornsby, streaming live at KOOP.org. You better stay where you are.
Step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
My life, I've been.
It is Wednesday, March 29th, 2023. On the show today, we have Cold Frame Collective and their show Spring Tide. And later on, we'll be talking to roving reporter Lacey Cannon Gonzalez about her exploits in New York City and Chicago. And of course, we are going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in New York, Chicago, London, Prague, and Jersey City, New Jersey. Stick with us. Oh my God, there's a very dramatic way to come into the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just very dramatic. That was the song Only You, Lonely You from Bad Cinderella, which opened, and we're going to talk about it in just a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it. So I want to see how you're doing. How's your teeth?
My teeth are good. They're getting better every
good.
Day.
Getting better all the time.
Yeah.
That's great. We had a good week. I'd like to thank Kim Simpson for another wonderful international folk bazaar. He has a show on Friday at the Some Lounge. It's Sierra Lounge. It's on one of these other scripts I gave y'all because I gave you my script. I think it's Sierra Lounge, but he's got...
it's not on my script.
Is that what it is? Laura's nodding. Laura's nodding, which does not work on the radio.
Friday night at something.
At the Sahara Lounge?
Shahara? Is that what you wrote?
Shahara, but Sahara.
It's Sahara, okay.
You say Shahara, you
I
say
I don't know.
Shahara.
I'm reading your writing. S-C-H.
I know. You can't read my
Shahara.
Writing. Nobody can. And
he's
I'd like
out
to...
Loud.
I'd like to welcome a co-op person in training for our wonderful radio station here, Laura Werner. Hi, Laura.
Hello.
How are you? Pull that microphone right up to your mouth. There you
all
go.
Right.
And that's what I was talking about earlier for those of you listening in. So you're here observing how I work here at co-op. Tell us about what you want to do here at co-op.
Yes, I'm interested in doing some music shows, uh-huh. And you out there in Radioland could too if you go to coop.org and go to the Get Involved tab, fill out an application.
Wow, she's got it all down. Amazing. Yeah, that's right. What she's referring
to
is...
We have her stick around here and do this stuff, especially during drive with us. She's right on cue with us.
Absolutely. If you want to be a programmer, like I was just a volunteer, just a little old volunteer when I came in and started, and I got trained on all this amazing equipment. So what kind of music?
I kind of like some eclectic stuff, some folk and ambient.
Show tunes?
Sometimes.
Just say yes. Just say yes. You're outnumbered right now. Well, that's amazing. Well, good. Enjoy your time here. If you feel free to join in the conversation.
Well, thanks for having me.
Let's introduce the folks that are sitting here with us in our amazing conversation. Audrey Parrott, welcome back.
Hello. Thank you.
How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully. Thank you so much for asking.
Yeah, you're welcome. Gabrielle Smith, welcome.
Hello.
Have you been on the show before?
No, I haven't.
Oh, amazing.
Not.
Good. Amazing. This is a drinking game. As many times, every time you hear me say amazing, take a swig. Because I do it a lot. I don't know when it started.
You know
Asher
why?
Heidrich.
You're amazing.
You can even drink when Nicole says it.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. What's new? Okay, Cheyenne Kimmick, hi.
Hi, hello.
Welcome. So let's just get right into what we were talking about. I mentioned that we had a couple of openings, and one was really interesting, and the other was really interesting. And we're going to start...
totally very different.
Totally very different, exactly. We're going to start with Sweeney Todd. We've been talking about this show forever.
Well, yeah. Multiple reasons. For Esteban and for the Grobes.
Well, you talk about Esteban. I talk about the Grobes. Actually, I talk about
you talk
for
about
the
Esteban,
Ashfords.
Annalie I love too, but yeah. The Grobes overshadows everything.
That's your opinion.
It is. The Grobes brings me joy.
So what we're talking about, of course, is Sweeney Todd, which opened on Broadway... on the 26th, Sunday, I don't know.
Yeah, that's Sunday.
You know, sometimes they say the day, and sometimes they say the date.
It was my maman's birthday on Saturday.
Bon anniversaire.
Bon anniversaire.
So this is the new production of Sweeney Todd with Annalie Ashford and Josh Groban.
And that little young gent from Stranger Things.
I don't watch Stranger Things, so I don't know who he is, but he plays No One Will Harm You, the assistant to Pirelli.
Yes.
Yep.
Pirelli has a great moment.
Audrey's wants to say something, but
singing along. I love Sweeney Todd. We've been talking about this backstage a lot.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Well, so you should have joined in this conversation. Did y'all read the reviews? Yeah, they weren't good.
Really?
No, they were great.
She's totally kidding.
Not enjoying Annalie, and I'm
no.
Not
everybody
here for
is
that.
Enjoying Annalie.
Everybody's enjoying.
The reviews have been amazing because she's a whole new take on Mrs. Lovett, not the sort of the clownish character that has always usually been played that way. She makes her a much more human character.
The consensus has been that Sweeney and Lovett there's just two totally different takes on them. And then people are crying to hear a 25-piece orchestra and to hear the songs and to be like, oh my gosh,
and the orchestrations.
To hear the music and the orchestrations and 20, you know, because you just don't have 25 pieces really anymore. That's a bummer. Three greatest sounds in life, the swell of an orchestra before a show, the roar of a baseball crowd live, and the laughter of a child.
Okay, well, that's not...
Just
that's,
saying.
That is not what they say in It's a Wonderful Life.
I'm just telling you.
Steam
that's
engines,
Nicole's
train...
Rules,
anyway, so let's listen to... let's read a little bit of the review that Jesse Green gave. I should say that the aggregator site, Did They Like It, gave it 13 thumbs up, one middle of the road, and guess how many negative reviews it got?
Zero.
Zero. Yeah. Y'all can actually talk. It's radio.
Nodding works really well for radio.
Nodding does work very well for
radio.
Right here, yeah. So let me just read this this paragraph from Jesse Green's review in the New York Times, which he made it a critic's pick, of course. He said, if there are so many worthy Sweeney options, that's because the show isn't just one of the greatest American musicals, but several. Sondheim's score, an homage to the sinister soundtracks of Bernard Herrmann's Cannibalizes the Book by Hugh Wheeler and the book's sources, a 1970 play by Christopher Brand, which is a 19th century penny dreadful. Until only their bones remain, but in return you get arias so beautiful and musical scenes so intricately layered that every possible genre seems to be baked inside. So the set's supposed to be truly amazing. This is one of the times they've been able to really do like the set, because this is only the third time or since in 30 years since it's been done on this scale on Broadway. Mm-hmm. There's been other versions of it, but not at this scale with the big sets, the big orchestras. The sets are by Mimi Lien. I could be mispronouncing it, Lien. And what he said of Annalie Ashford, he says, quote, but most of the humor comes from Ashford herself, a brilliant comic for whom comedy is not the end, but the means. Her Mrs. Lovett, despite a tip of the wig to Angela Lansbury, who originated the role, is not the music hall zany Lansbury created, but a brutal schemer for whom zaniness is a useful cover. As she hilariously enacts her romantic dramas with non-compliant Sweeney, you see that she's also trying to protect himself from his mania by getting his mind off avenging his wife and reclaiming Johanna. Later, as the evil begins to crowd in closer, the jokes go dry on her tongue. It's a great and very specific performance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We also didn't mention the beggar woman, who I know I don't like the beggar woman. I don't like the music she sings. City on fire, city on fire. I don't like it.
Yeah.
But Ruthie Ann Miles.
I was just about to say, we forgot to mention Ruthie Ann Miles is in this, but you, thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, but just amazing. So, you guys have been talking about it. What have y'all been saying? What are your thoughts about this version of Sweeney?
So the TikTok does not like Annalee Ashford, and we've been defending her because we all love her, but the youths.
You know, I'm addicted to TikTok, and I have seen none of this.
Maybe it's the side of TikTok that you're on.
Yeah, you need to be right.
TikTok.
Yeah,
I need to be on Annalee Ashford TikTok.
Yeah, most everybody's loves Annalee Ashford, and the way it's directed and put together.
They like the whole kit and caboodle
by Tommy Kail. Mm-hmm. But it's the love story. It's less of the revenge story and more of the love story, the unrequited love story, if you will. And they are really talking about the kid. I'm going to try to find his name. I do not. I don't watch.
Oh,
I'm going to. Yeah, don't worry about it.
Drive me nuts.
Don't worry about it. It's going to be in here, and I'm going to give it to you.
It's
Gaten
Matarazzo.
It is Gaten Matarazzo.
I was like, little Gabrosh,
right?
Which is he the one with the little curly hair?
Yes.
Okay, good. I guessed.
Yes.
I had a one of four chance to do it. Crazy about him in Stranger Things. I'm just saying. But I've only seen the first.
They're crazy
season.
About him in the Sweeney.
What about when he was little tiny in Les Mis, though?
Oh yeah, so little cute. Gavroche.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, other critics. We could talk about this all day long. Brittany Samuels of Broadway News said, "Somehow the hellish world of Sweeney Todd is a heavenly place for any musical theater lover to visit." Chris Jones of the New York Daily News said, "At once funny, scary, and disarmingly moving, this must-see production is content to peel back any cobwebs or artifice and let Stephen Sondheim and Hugh Wheeler's gothic revenge tragedy of a musical howl anew with the agony of human injustice and the ameliorating consistency of love." That was a long sentence.
That was.
But I said it well. Robert Hoffner of The Wrap said, it is the best sung version of Stephen Sondheim and Hugh Wheeler's musical I've ever heard.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Well,
voila. So that was Sweeney Todd. Now, take the car and turn it 180 degrees in the other direction.
We're moving on to Bad Cinderella.
And we're moving on to Bad Cinderella.
Before you start this, I would like to give my condolences, though, to Mr. Weber and his family. He lost his son. We talked about how
he lost his son to cancer on opening night,
that he wasn't going to be able to make opening night because his son had really taken a turn. But I really just want to send my condolences on that. That stinks.
Yep. Yep, true.
And then to have
I
this,
wasn't
I felt
not
bad.
Gonna mention that.
No, I know. I just
well to for this was not a surprise.
No,
it, probably not a surprise to him.
No,
the reviews weren't good. They did do this in England under the title Cinderella, mm-hmm. And this is Bad Cinderella. And anyway, also by Jesse Green, he says, "First, bring earplugs." Ooh. Not just because the songs in Bad Cinderella, the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical that opened on Thursday at the Imperial Theater, are so crushingly loud. The dialogue, too, would benefit from inaudibility. For that matter, bring eye plugs. The set and costumes are as loud as the songs. If there was such a thing as soul plugs, I'd recommend them as well.
Yeah, I know. It was not really nice.
Oof. Yeah. He calls this a... vulgar, sexed up, and dumbed down version of the show. A parade of hustling women in bustiers and shirtless peck rippling hunks, which I personally have no problem with. But the original story and book is by Emerald Fennell, and Alex Shear did the book adaptation. Yeah, not really good all around. Carolee Camello, though, was in it and played...
Oh, Carolee got a lot of, like, woo, she rocked her socks off, but...
She played the stepmother. Yeah, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on this.
Is she going to pick a show that does her right? I mean, like...
I know. Well, we're going to listen to her in just a little while. But here's something interesting about Lord Lloyd Webber's...
Lord Lloyd Webber.
His previous 12 Broadway musicals, starting with Jesus Christ Superstar in 1971...
And I thank him every day for that. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Before I was ever born. He's just... Guess how many of those... There's 12 Broadway musicals. Guess how many performances?
Oh, total? Like between all of
all
them?
Of them. Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. You got... And is it just in this country or overall Broadway, globally?
Broadway.
Oh, just Broadway. Okay.
Phantom's still open.
It's breaking box offices.
Closing in April.
It's closing, but it's
going to open back up again.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to say 250,000.
Yeah. That's around what I was thinking.
Yeah. Way high. 30,000.
30. Okay. Yeah.
That's a lot of performances. And that is 75 years worth of performances.
Wow.
And interestingly enough, Webber is 75 years old.
He is. And
they have grossed, this is just New York City, $1.5 billion.
Wow. Wow.
Amazing. It says it could finance a moon mission or pay off thousands of mortgages. I like that idea because I need help. Some of the other critics said, Matt Weinman of AM New York said, the appeal of the show lies primarily with the sumptuous and colorful fairy tale costumes of Gabriella Tyslova for the villagers and maidens, and the wickedly over-the-top and scenery-chewing performance of Carolee Carmella as Cinderella's stepmother. Brittany Samuels of Broadway News said, ultimately, Bad Cinderella proves there's something worse than a new musical being bad, being unoriginal. Yikes.
That's been a big complaint that I've heard.
Yeah.
Especially with like music, the music of the show.
Well, but I mean, well, there's so many different versions of Cinderella, or like three main versions of Cinderella, and they just redid the Rodgers and Hammerstein version to be a little bit more PC. So I don't know. Naveen Kumar of Variety said, a muddled and momentumless retooling of the familiar fairy tale in search of a coherent point of view, as if it were a glass-slippered foot. I don't know where they got that.
I don't know too much about this, so I could be completely wrong, but I heard that they're having a hard time putting new shows in the first place because they don't want to like risk the investment.
So well, that's been true for years.
So that's all they can really do is stuff like that's unoriginal.
Well, that's been, we've been complaining about that for a long time. We had the first preview, speaking of original, unoriginal works. But this is, I believe, kind of original. They had the first preview performance of New York, New York, The Candor and Ebb. The way this article calls it, it's a new Candor and Ebb musical, which it is. And
well, they never wrote... New York, New York was written for a film. It was never a musical.
I know, but this is a new musical, and Ebb is dead.
Yeah, so Ebb is dead, and you add in Manuel Miranda, and you know.
Well, he's giving additional lyrics. They've 44th Street is now Candor and Ebb Way.
Yeah, it should have been a long time ago. Longest American composing duo in Broadway history. You don't have to know their names, but you know their music off the top of the... it rolls off your tongue, whether you know show tunes or not. Case in point... New York, New York.
So how many original Candor and Ebb musicals are there?
Oh, I
know the number.
Yeah.
It's in this article.
Did you say it's in the hundreds?
No.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing.
No.
I'll help you. It's 15.
It's like,
I was going to say 17.
It's 15.
That's not as many.
This makes 15. They've won 4 Tony Awards, 2 Emmys, 2 Grammys. They're in the Songwriters Hall of Fame, and they received a Kennedy Center honor. I think they received the honor the same year I did. I'm not sure.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I did not. but that's pretty amazing.
It is amazing.
Candor and Ebb Way.
It's so funny. The original version of the song New York, New York before they changed it popped up in my player the other day and I started laughing. I was like, boy, this is not as good as it's New York, New York.
So who
da,
here?
Da, 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 da. It was, totally different.
Who here is or was a thespian? International Thespian Society.
Me. Dun, 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 dun.
Like
me too.
Like officially or just?
Oh, I'm not officially.
Not with like the...
Yeah, the Thespian Society is a high school thing. I actually thought I was going to bring my ID card from 1974, but even though I wasn't born, but where I knew it was, it wasn't. So I don't know where that card is. What anyway, is they talk about the main stage performances for the 2023 festival revealed, and I just thought it was really cool. There's 7 high school productions have been invited to perform. This happens in the middle of June in Indiana University in Bloomington, and here are the shows: The Color Purple, from Alexandra Senior High School in Alexandria, Louisiana. Damn Yankees, from Bridgeland High School in Cypress, Texas. Roald Dahl's Matilda, the musical, from Champaign Central High School in Champaign, Illinois. Mystery of Edwin Drood, from Floyd Central High School in Floyd Knobs, Indiana. Mean Girls, the high school version, at J.J. Pierce High School in Richardson, Texas. Two Texases. Antigone in Munich, which I've never heard of.
I don't know, but I love all these shows.
At the Mount Carmel Academy in New Orleans. And then Ken Ludwig's Lend Me a Tenter. Tenter. That's somebody who tents. Otherwise known as a Boy Scout. Mount Vernon High School in Mount Vernon, Iowa. I just think that's totally cool.
Yeah,
and
that
the Thespians
really
are
cool.
Such a... an important organization, and at someday I will bore you with my thespian initiation story. It's quite the
yeah, you have the, I've known you for 20 years now. I've never heard you talk about this.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I learned something new about you today.
Well, now we have to start wrapping up, and of course we're not going to get to talk about the things that I really want to see talk about, but I do want to talk about Casey Nicholaw.
Oh, this was really cool. I mean, it was cool, even though it was an unfortunate situation that put us all into the cool zone.
I think it's really cool. Casey Nicholaw, who directed Some Like It Hot and other things like...
who has their own stage credits for performing and stuff, too.
Well, he hasn't been on stage in 20 years.
In 20 years.
So it's
been
a long time.
He's been in some good ones, man.
But he went on for almost an entire week. I don't know if he's still... playing.
No, I think he's off. I think he's off now.
Playing Spats Columbo. They just had so many people out. They didn't know what to do. And he said, hey, I believe it was his idea. I could go on a Spats. So
he went
did.
On to Some Like, we're talking about Some Like It's Hot. I don't know if we mentioned
that. Oh, I don't
know
if we mentioned that either.
Yeah. So yeah, he went on. Can you imagine how cool to have your director on stage with you, like doing his thing, and 20 years later be back on the stage from
yeah,
the other side.
Pretty amazing.
It's so cool.
And then the final thing I want to talk about is the Ragtime concert, which was slated to happen prior to the pandemic.
Yes,
you like that?
Yeah, I love Ragtime.
Well, it's an amazing piece. I would love to do it. It's big.
It's big. Oh,
yes. Mm-hmm. It's a big show. But this is
an undertaking.
Yeah, this is the one with Audra McDonald and Brian. I'm sorry. Audra McDonald and Brian Stokes Mitchell. This is all the original cast. Maren Mazey, who unfortunately has passed away, who played the mother, was replaced by Kelly O'Hara. So
I mean that's the way it should. I get that replacement.
Yeah.
I hear it.
So it was supposed to be amazing, and I'm hoping there's rumors that there were cameras.
Oh, thank God.
So we might be able to see it at some point. But
T-Mac wrote that book.
T-Mac did.
Yeah.
I don't know who T-Mac is.
Terrence McNally.
Oh, Terrence McNally.
He's so cool. He's
yeah.
T-Mac.
Yeah. Yeah. Oddly enough, I didn't know him by that name. But speaking of Ragtime, let's go out and take a break and let's listen to Ragtime from Ragtime.
Yes.
We'll be right back. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole and Laura. And so, Laura, how's it going so far for you?
It's a lot of fun. Lots going on right now.
Laura, when I told Laura that she was going to be on mic, she went, "What? You're going to make me talk?" Yes, we're making you talk. Okay. Well, let's just jump right into our first guest, if you want. Hold on. So, not if you want, we're going to. I was multitasking and I said things that just came out of my head. But Cold Town Collective.
Cold Frame, we're the other one.
Cold Frame, sorry. I didn't have my glasses on. Is doing a devised piece called Springtide. And we have the artistic director of Cold Town,
Cold Frame.
Cold Frame,
we're the other one.
Darn it. We're the other one. Oh, and I even wrote Cold Town on here.
Cold Frame below.
Yeah, I know. I'm not very smart. Cold Frame Collective, Audrey Barrett. Hi, Audrey. Welcome back.
Hi, hello. If I can correct, co-artistic director.
My other half,
Caroline Bobbitt, was not able to make it today.
Oh, bummer. And then we have three of the devisors and performers here. We have Gabrielle Smith. Hi, Gabrielle.
Hello, hello.
We have Asher Heydrich. Heydrich. I said it right the first time.
You did. Good morning.
I second-guess myself. And Cheyenne Kimmick.
Hi.
So, one of you, any of you, tell us about the show. It's a devised piece. First of all, tell our audience what it means to devise a theater piece, and then tell us about this piece.
Devised theater is basically building a show from the ground up. A group of collaborators come together and sort of decide on what the theme of the show is, what you want the show to be, and from there you kind of develop little scenes or exercises where you find your characters that you want to play, and then you figure out how to piece them together cohesively, and then from there it all just kind of falls into place.
So basically you start from nothing, you end up with a show.
Exactly.
Amazing. So tell us about this show specifically.
I have a thing I knew you were going to ask. No, this is a little clip from our director's note. Our absolutely wonderful director, Robbie Sciortino, also couldn't make it today, but he has written this beautiful director's note, and I wanted to read just a clip of it because it gives you a good idea.
Great.
A spring tide is a tide in which the difference between high and low tide is the greatest. For the characters in this play, it's the transition from high school to college and the ebbs and flows that come with these first few bites of adulthood. They too fear inevitable change and experience the waves and ripples of those life-altering moments where you have to take the present at face value and the past no longer offers her comforts.
Ah, okay, got it. And on the website and the ticket site, it says a group of Y2K 20-somethings deal with life, love, and loss as their lives move in directions they didn't expect. Does this happen around the turn of the century? Okay.
Yes. 2005 to 2006.
Yes. Okay.
2004 to 2006.
I didn't devise it. I shouldn't speak.
Who here remembers Y2K?
Oh, I did.
Very, very
okay.
Rare.
Okay.
A little bit.
Yeah. In theory, more.
In theory. Yeah, me too. My parents told me about it. Funny. So is this, is this a narrative? Do we have a beginning, middle, and an end?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, so with that in mind, I'm going to ask Gabrielle, tell me about your character.
So my character's name is Anna. Thank you so much. I think it was very interesting coming up with characters for this device piece just because you started with the nobody. It was just like you have a character from a little exercise that you have, and now you have to develop an entire character based on that. So she's going through the turn of the century. She has a love interest and experiences love, experiences loss, experiences just she's a very clueless kind of person of like, I don't know what I want to do with life. I'm just here. I want to do everything and nothing at the same time.
Mm.
So she's been very interesting to play because she's so against what I am. I mean, I'm very like driven of like, I know what I want. This is ambition. And she's just like, I'm a general studies major. So she's been really interesting to play and a really joy to create from nothing.
So, yeah. And Asher, who are you playing?
Axel. And he's pretty interesting as well. He started out wanting to be a football star, but the girl that he ended up marrying was not okay with that. So he just kind of got into finance and kind of like that type of story.
It's what I would do.
He's going through some hard problems too that will, I guess, be shown in the show. But it's interesting. He's fun to play. This is actually my first theater experience ever.
Right. Well, I was going to ask you about that later, but I'm going to ask you about it right now then, since you mentioned it. Tell us about that. How did you come to play this role?
I've just now moved to Austin like a few months ago, and I'm
welcome.
Like at a point in my life where I can like try and go hardcore for something I want to do, which is this is something I've always wanted to do. But this is the first time I'm actually able to do it. And I was looking through and auditioned for submitted for a few different theater projects, and this is just so happened to be one of them. I went there Sunday, and I was super nervous, to be honest, like super nervous. But I just took a deep breath and I was just like, you know what? They keep telling me, like Robbie, Audrey, like they keep telling me, just have fun, just go with it. So I just like let go and just pretend like I wasn't even on stage or anything and just like had fun with what I was told to do. And they called me back the next day and it like, it was exciting.
Oh,
it was
great. Exhilarating. Amazing. Well, you take direction. That's it. And that is important. You just have fun, especially in an audition. There's no harm in just having fun and enjoying yourself. And Cheyenne, tell us about what you play. I know because I saw your hands going up that you are playing the partner of Gabrielle.
Yes.
My
character's name is Trevor, and he is kind of sort of the love interest to Gabby's character, Anna. I won't go too far into that because it sort of gives some stuff away.
It's our business.
But he, unlike Anna is for Gabby, I feel like Trevor is actually very similar to me. He's very kind of shy and reserved and I'd say soft-spoken.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, so now did the three of you, so oftentimes you'll have a group that devises it. I know you were part of the devisers, but are you the role that you devised? Did you ever switch roles?
Oh, very course line questioning. I got that, Lisa.
I mean, I think we changed the show completely.
We did.
Oh, yeah.
I think about 2 weeks ago.
Something like that, yeah.
So we were like, yeah, we need to have our script. So we started, I think, writing the script for the first piece. And then we were like, we're not feeling this. And like, we're like, hey, what about that exercise we did last week? We liked it better. So let's make a show out of that. So we're completely different from when we started.
Ah,
so
okay.
Everything's different.
Everything's different.
Well, great. Well, I'm looking forward to see it. I see in the listing of... of personnel, you have an original composition. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I think Cheyenne can probably speak to this more, but...
but you're gonna.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna start, and then Cheyenne's gonna wrap it up. I'm doing gestures you can't see. Yeah, so we love working with original music, and this is something that Robbie, from the beginning, was like, Seth's my guy. Seth always writes music for, and he's written this absolutely incredible piano music, then kind of themes for a few different characters, and some more artistic, maybe a little bit less narrative sections of the play, particularly that the music kind of takes over and helps tell the story, and it's really beautiful.
Oh, wonderful. So
I
it'll
love
be
that.
More of a it's not we're not singing here. This is more underscoring or even just
you could sing
music
if you want.
Itself.
Moments.
I could say that. Well, that's great. So when You're playing this at the Outdoor Theater at Center Stage.
Correct. Cold Frame Collective All was kind of born out of various teachers working at Kids Acting that all, you know, realized that we had very similar artistic visions and whatnot. So Kids Acting, even though we have all moved on to different things, they have been just really wonderful to us and have let us rent their space. So, yeah, there's a nice little concrete slab in the back that we call a theater. We put some lights on it.
And you play, well, you know what? You couldn't have a better time of year
like,
for
this
it.
This is the perfect
really
time of year with the weather.
Raining.
Yeah. Well, it won't.
It's going away. They're calling me. It's
yeah, I'm a meteorologist by profession, so I can tell you you're
it
fine.
Away.
Well, great. When do y'all open?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. And how long do you play?
We run for the next 2 weekends, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And so that's through April 8th, correct?
Through April 8th, correct.
Wonderful. And where can folks go to get more information about the show?
ColdFrameCollectiveTheater.com, theater with an R-E.
Awesome. You do not have to
tell
our
listeners that's
that.
The right way. Thank you.
Well, great. Well, thank you all so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Wonderful. Well, that was Audrey Barrett, Gabrielle Smith, Cheyenne Kimmick, and Asher Heidrich, all of Cold Frame Collective's new production of Springtide, opening tomorrow, March 30th, plays through the 8th at Center Stage, Outdoor Stage. For more information, Cold Frame Theater, Collective.Theater, Cold Frame Collective Theater.org. I could not find it through Google, so I just said Facebook. So have a best of luck with the show and the run. And we're going to take a little trip and say we're going to play Run with the Tide from the show Prodigal. We'll be right back.
What could I lose leaving Paris?
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Yeah.
And Laura.
Hey.
And Lacey.
Hello.
Hello. Well, let's introduce Lacey Cannon Gonzalez. This is going to be here to join us to talk to us a little while later. But she's here right now, and you're going to join in. You don't know it, but you're joining in our conversation about local stuff.
I'm joining in.
You're
excellent.
In. You're in it to win it. I'm ready.
Yeah, so what do we got going? I just wanted to sort of, because I haven't talked to them in a while, and we haven't seen them here on the show, the Barron's Men is bringing the Winter's Tale to life.
They haven't been on in a while, you're right.
They're bringing the Winter's Tale on by Bill Shakespeare.
You know that Bill may go somewhere.
Part of the First Folio.
Part of the First Folio.
I don't know. I just want to say that. Yeah, pretend like I know what Shakespeare's. Anyway, it is, when is it happening? It's happening April 6th through the 29th over at Richard Garriott's Curtain Theater.
Love that place.
Love that place.
It's a special little place.
LTP, and well, I'm sure we'll be talking to young Shakespeare soon, who will be going to play there as well.
They'll be going out there too. Lots of fun stuff. It's that time of year to go outside and enjoy. Who doesn't want a replica of the Globe Theater?
Of the Globe.
Outside.
Yep.
On the water in their city.
Yep. So so it doesn't really talk about the plot of Winter's Tale very much, so much as how people looked at it. It's like it was part of the First Folio, but it was really one of Shakespeare's late romances. And the critics have called it a problem play because the first three acts are filled with intense drama, while the last two acts are comic and supply a happy ending.
Well, so
by
funny.
The way, I did say five acts.
That's a lot of acts.
But here's the funny thing. They call a lot of William Shakespeare's plays problem plays, but it's how many years later, and those problem plays don't seem to be a problem for people. But it's
now, they're a problem for me.
They're a problem.
But that's, you know,
but they're
that's
not. But they're done. But we're still talking. That's the
well,
point.
No, we are going to stop talking right now and move on.
Zip.
Other things playing are things that we've already really talked about. Ain't Too Proud, which I was supposed to go see last night, but didn't.
The Life and Time of the Temptations.
Of the Temptations. They are playing right now at Bass Concert Hall. You can get information at austin.broadway.com.
Yeah.
The Tavern is playing at different stages. I'm going to try to go see that this weekend.
Yes,
yeah. It's very cute.
It's got. Oh, have you seen it?
Yes, I saw it a few weeks ago.
It's gotten some good notices. It's a rip-roaring comedy, as they said here.
We
on
had them
the,
on last week
they
or
did.
Week before?
I think last week.
I think it was last week.
Yeah. Vincent is still playing over at Ground Floor Theater. That's a Penfold production.
Oh, no, they were the week before because we had the Vortex and Vincent on last week.
Okay.
That's right.
Speaking of the Vortex, the Dragonfly Princess opened last weekend. It plays through the 15th. Cat in the Hat, still happening at Zach Theater.
Yeah.
Through the 23rd. And then coming up soon, Row opens
next
at Zach.
Week.
They just moved into the theater itself,
they
which
did.
Seems really exciting.
Jenny Lavery's directing it. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about that one.
Yeah, me as well.
Just
looks
got
like,
some pre-production photos that I sent to you earlier today, too.
I saw a very large group of people.
Oh, the cast?
Yeah. I just saw a picture of the whole crew, so I think it's everybody.
Ah, yes, yes. I mean, it is.
But I did see some Michelle Alexander.
Yes,
in there.
She's in the show.
And who else did I see? I saw some other people.
There's
I
a whole
can't
bunch. Amber
Amy,
Quick.
Amber Jesus Quick. Sturgis, that's the other person I saw.
Amy Downing.
Amy Downing. You want the cast?
No, I don't. Okay. I would like to move on. Openings this week in I didn't even say what I was talking about, did I? Today in theater history.
Stuff happened today.
Laura, go get
and
to
Lisa's
one of these microphones over
tell
here.
Us. Oh, you want me to move down? Stuff
no,
happened
don't.
Today.
So I want to find out from Laura if she's a theater person.
You know, I did tech theater
in
high school.
That's like what, spectacular.
Yeah. What did you do? Were you building sets, moving stuff around?
I was mostly doing like the managing in the back.
Stage managing, we call that.
Yeah. That was Lisa's
That's
jam.
That was my jam. That was my background. Well, good. Well, now we're going to go in today in theater history. Things that happened on this day.
Stuff happened.
In 1951, The King and I opened. At the St. James Theater.
I was just about to say at the St. James.
You were about to say that. And the Newsies opened in 2012 at the Niederlander.
I always felt like the Newsies was earlier than that. Isn't that funny? And then every time
Well, because the movie came out years
I know,
before
but
that.
I still like feel like the seven in my brain says it was earlier than that, but it wasn't.
Well, I just want to be crutchy. Just want to be crutchy. I don't think that's too much to ask. And I want to tap dance on newspapers.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
Edward Albee's Three Tall Women opened in 2018, and we did a wonderful production of it here that I did not get to see, but it got great reviews.
Yeah.
It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman. It opened in 1966.
Oh, I thought it was earlier. Was it really 66?
66.
Interesting.
And then we actually talked about this the other day, Woman of the Year.
Oh, yeah, we've talked about that. We've talked about it a lot lately.
It opened in 1981.
With the Lauren Bacall.
And in 2007, the year of magical thinking.
The year of I don't know the year of magical thinking.
Yeah, and here I don't
2007?
Either, but who is this person? Those of you on the radio can't see this, but I'm showing
which
a picture.
Which person are you pointing
it looks
to?
Like, oh, sorry, the year of magical thinking. Who is that?
Is that?
It looks.
That's
oh, see, I didn't think that. She's saying Vanessa Redgrave. You have to actually speak into the microphone.
Oh, is that Vanessa Redgrave?
Who do you think? Anybody?
Yeah, it looks like Redgrave.
Okay, good. Okay, then I'm not going to even say what I was thinking. You want to take a guess, Laura? No.
Who did you think it was?
I can't tell you. I'll tell you off mic. Okay. I'm too embarrassed to say I thought it was Gwyneth Paltrow. Way too embarrassed to say that.
Honestly, the black and white photo, it could have been.
An old person makeup. Anyway, so sorry. Birthdays, Pearl Bailey. I know. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh, I love me some Pearl Bailey.
She was
me some Pearl Bailey.
She was born in 1918. Megan Hilty.
Oh, happy birthday!
Speaking of Megan Hilty, they did announce
Smash
is
coming
happening
on Broadway. Yes.
Which I don't know how I feel. Elizabeth McCann, born in 1931, and she was a great producer. And Eric Idle's birthday doesn't say how old he is.
I love me some Eric Idle.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the.
Eric Idle.
Yeah, of all those people. So let's take a little break.
The British have some funky humor.
Did. I did have to play a little bit of It's a Bird, It's a Plane, It's Superman.
I was about to say, are you going to choose
haven't
that?
In a while. But, and of course, I had to play Pow, Bam, Zonk.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Come on, Paul, let's go back.
We are back. You are still listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Yes.
We are going to switch gears. This is something I don't think we've... That was our sound effect of gears switching.
Yep, I was giving it
but
to
it
you.
Really just sounded like brakes.
The
switching gears would be more like... Okay.
I do know that because I, up until this car, I have driven a stick shift
my
whole life.
You know what? Me too. This car.
You just can't get them. They're like, you can't get this in a stick shift. I was like, that's just wrong.
If you want like modern amenities, you can't get a stick shift. But if you want like if you want leather interior and stuff like that, you can't get a stick shift. So
the show has gotten so high tech.
Next week on Offstage in Cars.
we could talk about that. That's funny.
But I want to reintroduce Lacey Cannon Gonzalez. Welcome
Hello.
Back to the show.
Thank you.
When was the last time you were on the show?
It's been years.
Oh,
okay. 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, it's been
Has
a while.
Has it really been that long?
Yep.
That's wrong.
Well, I don't know why we brought... Why are you here? No, I know why you're
on. I have no idea. I just wandered in the studio.
So, so you might recognize the last name Gonzalez because Carl Gonzalez has been... subbing quite a bit.
I was like,
in the past year.
Yes, Carl,
you can't keep him away.
Or so we can't keep him away. We kept him away today.
He came in a lot. Well, you know, those summers at the Jersey Shore take me away sometimes.
But you and
Carl is a savior.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you and Carl have had some really great adventures over the past few months.
Yeah.
One of which was a very recent trip to New York City.
Yes.
And then just recently past that, to Chicago.
Yes.
And I don't mean the show, I mean the city. And while you were there, you saw loads of shows. And so I thought it would be fun to talk about what you saw and what your thoughts were, because you saw some shows that are really topical right now. But even in Chicago, you saw things that I just want to talk about. So let's start in Chicago. First of all, I'm going to ask you to get closer to that microphone and speak in your outside voice.
Is this better?
Yeah, if you want to push it up, just use
this. I didn't want to break it.
No, don't
break the microphone.
Move it to your liking. Yeah.
So y'all went to Chicago. Yes. You stayed with Jarrett.
Yes.
Did you really?
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
We stayed out with him and his wife, Diana, and he's the new director of education at the Court Theater.
Yes.
So we got to do a really cool behind the scenes.
And he also works with Goodspeed and Penfold is local. With Goodspeed.
The Goodman.
Yeah, yeah. Goodspeed's in Minneapolis. Yes. The Goodman and what's his name's theater?
Steppenwolf.
Thank you.
Yes.
Awesome. So y'all saw some things at both of those theaters, correct?
We saw some stuff and some things.
Okay. Tell us what were the highlights? What was your highlight theatrically?
Chicago. I go to Chicago to be inspired for theater, and it did not disappoint. We saw Finn at the Court by Carol Churchill, which was that set.
Carol Churchill is amazing.
Like, incredible.
Drink, everybody. I just said amazing.
I picked that up somewhere too, because I say amazing a lot now.
I know exactly where I picked it up.
I think I know.
I don't want to name names, but Astrid Runhill.
Yes, that's who I was going to say. It's Astrid. Amazing.
Amazing, yes.
Oh, I love her. But yes, so Finn.
So tell us about Finn. Is it Finn, F-I-N-N?
F-E-N.
F-E-N.
It's about the Finlands in rural England.
Oh, okay.
Where there are workers, predominantly women, that work to dig up potatoes and onions and root vegetables. And it's just kind of, it's a non-linear story focusing on a group of women, one in particular who's trying to decide if she's going to leave her family for the man she loves or stay in a relationship that she's not happy in. And yeah, just kind of the socio-economic commentary for that time and those people.
Well, and what is what Carol Churchill does so very, very well.
I was about to say that's kind of her jam.
Mm-hmm.
So what else?
Then we.
Oh, did you say what theater you saw that at?
That was at the Court Theater.
At the Court.
And it was directed by Vanessa Stalling.
Okay.
Wonderful, wonderful people. Got to meet a few of them afterwards and very nice. The next night we saw Describe the Night by Rajiv Joseph at Steppenwolf.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a 3-hour epic.
Which can be, you know, that I always get nervous when I hear that. But like when I went to see whatever it was on Broadway's 3-hour, and I'm going to come up with it. Ferryman. I was a little nervous. It was 3 hours, and I went, you did not feel it. It was so amazing. I'm assuming it's similar.
That's exactly how I felt, because I didn't know it was 3 hours until I was walking into the theater, and Jarrett's like, oh, by the way, it's 3 hours. And it gave me pause. I was like, okay, cool. Russian political drama, 3 hours. Great. I'm
no
ready
problem.
For this.
Sounds great.
No problem. I'm really excited. But it was incredible. Glenn Davis, who's one of the artistic directors, was in the show. Phenomenal. We actually got to sit next to Rajiv Joseph, who was in the audience.
Oh, that's awesome.
The director, Austin Pendleton, was in the audience. So I was like watching him. That was like kind of the cool thing, is because where we were sat, we were right across from Austin Pendleton, watching him take notes. We're sitting next to Rajiv Joseph, who's taking notes with his assistant, and hearing, oh, I need to flesh that out. Oh, I'm scrapping that whole part. And
that's
just
great.
That was really fascinating.
It's so cool when you get to watch the work,
the process,
and then the process of the work at the same time.
So if those of you that have been to the Topfer Theater here at Zach Theater, Zach Theater's Topfer was based in a good deal on the Steppenwolf Theater. So it's got the same kind of feel, the sort of the rounded, the round
the way
house.
It arcs and the house is built.
And so if you've been to the,
Did you learn that on our hard hat visit?
I did, actually.
I was about to say, that's when we had hard hats on and we were climbing ladders.
Yeah.
The only thing on the stage at that point, I think, was Karen Kirkendall's Ashes.
Not
in
even
the
yet, I don't think. They said they were going to.
They were just about to happen. Wow, that was a long time ago, too.
And this was in their new theater, too. They're in the round that they just finished, which was gorgeous.
Where is it in the same? Is it in the same area? As
yeah.
The, okay.
So you enter in the same place. Instead of going straight, you go to the left, and
amazing.
It's right there.
Great. No, nobody drink. I didn't say the entire word.
No.
So what else did you see in Chicago?
And so we ended our trip with Anna in the Tropics.
Anna in the Tropics. Well, now, and this is...
So fascinating. Full circle.
Funny? This was
with
one.
You and
this is one that interested
that.
Me yeah. because, as well, maybe you don't know, Carl Gonzalez directed Anna in the Tropics, and Lacey, associate directed that alongside him at Ground Floor Theater.
Just recently.
Just recently, last season. And when I looked at the
Carl sent me a copy of the playbill or the poster, mm-hmm. and I looked at the poster, and to me it looked like they missed the mark. The poster doesn't to me say anything about the piece itself, but Carl said good things about it. What did you feel about it?
I felt good things about the show. Just coming back to Nilo Cruz's script felt like coming home. Uh-huh. It was kind of like a warm hug, and it felt really good to hear it. It was different. It was a different production, but it was still really beautiful. The director, I believe her name was Laura Alcala Baker.
Great memory.
She really put women at the forefront. And I agree. I don't think the promotional poster did the piece justice. It just
you
really
all
didn't say
also
about it.
Had a stunning artwork
we
for
did.
Your production.
Let me tell you.
We did.
That was my favorite.
It's really one of the most favorite things I've seen in a while.
Right. So gorgeous.
So I want to make sure. So we were worried about filling time, and now we're running out of time.
Oh.
So let's move to New York.
Cool.
You saw, just first of all, list out the Broadway shows you saw.
Oh, just a few. Just a handful. We saw Anne Juliet, Six, Parade, Sweeney Todd, and A Doll's House.
My Lord. And
what
did you see anything off Broadway, or is that
we didn't get to this time?
Oh God, I don't see how you could. That's five shows.
We needed a few more days.
Yeah. So do you have a favorite of those five?
So Parade.
So Parade. Though, yeah.
Parade was just
they
just,
are very different.
They are all very so different. We started the whole trip with like pop concert musicals, and we ended on A Doll's House, like ended on Ibsen.
Oh, so that was like the order you saw.
Yeah.
That's a strange
Were you
ride.
Familiar?
It really is.
Were you familiar with Parade prior to seeing it?
I was. I saw an amazing production, a concert version about 9 years ago at this theater. I think you may be familiar, Ground Floor Theater?
Well, I don't know the theater, but I do know the director quite well. No, so you had seen it. So a lot of people come into a show like Parade and don't really know what it's about and are quite surprised.
Mm-hmm.
So what about Parade made it, what was it? Was it, because we've been reading about it. So,
okay.
And I've seen, the duet.
Snippets and little.
Snippets.
Teasers.
What was it for you?
I don't know if I can narrow it down to one thing. They just hit the nail on the head in so many areas. One thing, I was just talking to my sister about this, was that they focused on how the media really created the frenzy around
sure.
the case.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really interesting, the way that they staged that and had the characters doing that, because it really put that at the forefront. I love that they made Lucille, like, I don't know if it was just Michaela Diamond, who gave my favorite performance of the entire trip.
She's
made Lucille totally different.
She's so vulnerable and mm-hmm. delicate, but it's just like iron. I don't know how else to describe it. And you can't not watch her. Because there were points in the show that I know I was supposed to be watching Ben Platt, who was phenomenal. So I'm not discounting his performance. But I just couldn't take my eyes off her.
Those are such magical theatrical moments mm-hmm. when you just can't take your eyes off of someone no matter what's happening on the stage.
Yes.
It doesn't happen all the time. But when it does, it's like, it's a moment.
Yes. And Alex,
magic moment.
I think it's Alex Joseph Grayson who plays Jim Connolly.
Mm-hmm.
Gives single-handedly the best performance of the entire show.
That's a great role. There's a lot of stuff on that, in
like
that role.
Like the whole, it's rare that you hear an entire audience just go completely silent.
Mm.
Okay. Unfortunately, we've got to wrap this up.
Oh,
so
no.
I just
want to
know, did you love The Grobes?
I love The Grobes.
Okay, thank you.
It was
you.
A different Sweeney.
That's all
Sweeney.
I needed to know.
It was a very vulnerable, different kind of Sweeney.
Mm-hmm.
That definitely still had, felt like he still had some hope at certain points and then lost it, which was heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. And did you love her?
I loved her yeah. so much. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really close for me on who I think is going to win the Tony.
Mm.
Well, actually, true. Okay. And then, so if you were to rank those five shows, now we have Parade.
They're so different.
Can you rank them?
Yeah. So, okay, it's going to go Parade, Sweeney, because it was just another epic. Doll's House, Jessica Chastain is going to win.
Really?
She was phenomenal. It was a very different production, but very, very good. And Juliet, fun, great storylines, different kinds of characters. And then I'll just say Six, because we already knew. Mm-hmm. You already knew that was a great show.
True. Well, Lacey
Cannon Gonzalez.
They just
recouped their money, too, this week. Mm-hmm. You helped them with that there.
Well, actually, they recouped it back in 21, but they just announced it this week.
They just announced it this week.
It was me.
It was their
it was you.
It was their 600th performance, which I think you were there.
I I was around there. I was like 590 something, I think.
That's pretty cool. Well, I think actually Six really taught the world a little bit about marketing.
Yes.
And they did things very differently and against the grain, and people thought they were going to suffer for it, but they didn't. So,
well,
so there.
Bad Cinderella had good marketing. That didn't help them.
No, I mean, but, the,
but yes,
one would argue
saying.
That Six had great marketing.
It also
people
had
didn't think
different
did.
Quality yeah. inside. But
my
yes.
toxic trait is I do want to see Bad Cinderella just to know. I have to know.
You may. You
can, I'm like that too. I know what you mean.
You can tell us all about it. So, well, thank you. Lacey Cannon Gonzalez, come back.
Yeah, thank you. That was awesome. Yes, I'll come back anytime.
All right. That was Lacey Cannon Gonzalez giving her our roving reporter report. New York and Chicago. Let's listen to a little bit of This Isn't Over from Parade, which is the duet that everybody's been playing. This is not the current version. This is the original Broadway with Burt, what's his name, and Carol Lee Carmelo.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Oh, my sweet Lucille, how did you ever manage it? You don't know what any of this means. It means cancel all your parties.
All right, we just have time to close this puppy out.
That was the winner for Carol Lee. We were saying she needed to find a...
Yeah, I
forgot
I know.
About that.
Yeah, well, yeah, I didn't
it's
like.
Still,
I
know,
didn't see
I
her,
know.
But I didn't like. I didn't like. Anyway,
it's
we don't have time to talk about it.
I know.
Austin Common Radio is up next. Laura, what did you think?
I gotta go see some theater now.
Yeah, you
yeah.
do. Well, great. So everybody, come join us next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. I'm going to hand it over to John Hoffner and Austin.
Common Radio.
Common Radio Hour. Oh my god. We'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Wake up. Drowning in my sweat.